my first question to you is...
I don't want to talk about hockey. I don't want to talk about hockey.
I'm not going to talk about hockey. I promise. My question to you is, how good was your French yesterday translating for that Alex Anthopoulos-Russell Martin press conference?
You know what? It was okay. What I liked about Russell is Russell dropped some of sort of the colloquialisms. He kind of, you know, it wasn't just like, he referred to his fiance or his girlfriend as my blonde and stuff like that. It was kind of good. That was okay. I could get it. I could get my way through it. I found, you know what was great? I got to tell you, what was great was Twitter when Russell Martin was asked in French about catching the knuckleball, and he responded calling a ball de papillon, and immediately people, Twitter's alight. Who the hell knew that the French word for butter or for knuckleball was ball de papillon? And it was like an entire country learned something.
I love it. Well, that means butterfly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ball of butter?
Yeah.
Ball of butterfly. All right. My wife is sitting next to me right now, Jeff, and she, of course, has some French-Canadian heritage, and even she knew that. That's pretty good.
You know what's amazing, and this is, now I'm going to get off topic a little bit, but one of the reasons that I've always said that Jacques Doucet should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, should be in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster is, you know, first of all, he's a terrific broadcaster with, you know, a voice from the gods, but beyond that, he and the guys that sort of helped create the mythology around the Expos right from the beginning, sometimes they had to make up words or they had to come up with phrases. They had to describe things that weren't common use, you know, words that weren't commonly said in the French language. And it was really remarkable.
Create his own baseball glossary in French.
Exactly.
He got to invent it. How about that? You get to invent your own terminology for a sport in that language, which I think is amazing. And I agree with you. He should be in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully, Jeff, I know you and I are on the same page here. Hopefully that ceremony will occur once the Expos return, which, who knows, maybe it'll happen in the next few years. You never know.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. We're joined by John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. All right, to the business at hand. Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday that he... is going to try to move D'Honor Navarro. He's told D'Honor that. He didn't guarantee him that they would move him for anything, but he said, look, we understand that you've got a year left in your contract. We understand that you want to go someplace where you can, if not be the number one guy, certainly catch a lot of games. You're not going to get those games with Russell Martin here. What would the market be like for a guy like D'Honor Navarro, and what do you think are some of the potential destinations for him?
Well, I think there would be some market, Jeff. He's not a frontline catcher, obviously. That's why the Jays signed Russell Martin. But I think he's a good catcher. I think he's a solid catcher, especially at the money that he's going to make. It's a pretty reasonable expense. I could even see a team like the Tigers, for example. They're having some questions about, even after picking up Alex Avila's option, if they're going to even bring him back necessarily or potentially trade him. So I think Navarro could be a fit there for the Tigers. There's a number of other teams that are sort of in that general marketplace. You never know about the Cubs. Of course, we know they were in on Russell Martin as well. The Seattle Mariners, I think they're looking at maybe upgrading that position as well. So there's enough of a scarcity of catching that a guy that can hit on a level that Navarro can, or at least has in the past, I think is going to be in demand on a certain level. So I think there's going to be a market there for him. But I'd almost think, Jeff, that they have to figure out what they're going to be able to get back for him and from the standpoint of what needs they can fill. Because we know one thing the Jays have to do between now and spring training, they've got to figure out their closing situation. They've got to figure out their eighth inning situation and probably even a little bit on left field. So you have to really match up with a team that can satisfy one of those needs, because right now, as it stands, I do expect the Jays to be very involved in that marketplace for closers and maybe even left field as well.
John Paul Morosi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Who do you think is the next free agent to fall here?
Well, among the big ones, Jeff, I think it's going to be probably John Lester and or Pablo Sandoval. And we know there's a report from Nick Cafardo in Boston saying that Lester obviously has that offer in hand from the Red Sox at 6 years and between $110 and $120 million. So the AAV there is going to be probably around $20 million, if in fact that's where he goes. I think the Cubs are still heavily involved. I still believe at the end of the day, Jeff, Lester is going to go to either the Cubs or the Red Sox because of the familiarity that he has there with obviously Boston having played there before and the Cubs with the Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer combination. So I think that's probably those are probably the two teams that are most in there on Lester. And Sandoval, meanwhile, I think the Red Sox are a factor there as well. I would be surprised still if he went somewhere besides Boston or San Francisco, given the fact that obviously he's got the comfort level in San Francisco and the Red Sox have that extreme need at third base for a batter just like Sandoval. So I think that those are probably the two teams that are most involved on Sandoval. There was a report last night about the Padres. I would have a hard time seeing that, Jeff. I think that Sandoval's probably going to go to Boston or San Francisco. But the Padres are an interesting team, and my colleague Ken Rosenthal wrote about that today at FoxSports.com about the fact that the Padres, you know, relatively new owner, relatively new GM, they want to spend some money and make a splash, and that's why we've heard them linked so much to Yasmani Tomas, the latest Cuban defector to come over that there's so much hype about. I think Tomas could be a possibility for the Padres, depending on if they feel confident enough in his ability to play the outfield as opposed to being a DH.
John, what do you think the market will be like for Andrew Miller? He's a guy that we know that the Blue Jays are interested in, and in fact, I mean, I've been told, the same people that told me that they were going to focus on Russell Martin, that Andrew Miller's the next guy. He's the free agent they go after. What do you think? How do you think that market shakes out?
Well, it's interesting, Jeff. I think that he's going to set a record for a non-closing relief pitcher, and he has never been a closer. I think that's important to note. I would be, if I'm the Jays, I'd be reluctant to sign him with the idea that I was going to make him my closer simply because he's never done it before. And I know there is that certain school of thought among the statistical community that really any great relief pitcher late in the ballgame can close. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that Andrew Miller has not closed for a reason. I think he's better in a setup role. That's just better for his makeup. I think that's been his comfort level in the last couple of years. So I would be comfortable signing Miller if I felt like I could probably have him be the eighth inning guy in the same Wade Davis role that the Royals had him in. I think Miller's great in the eighth inning. I would go with him there, but I would be really reluctant to close with him just because he hasn't done it before. I think that if you're going to get Miller, I'd almost like to see them get a combination and potentially add in maybe a K-Rod or a Rafael Soriano as well.
Before we let you run, FoxSports.com, the website, interesting article on the Cincinnati Reds. And a lot of people have kind of spent the early portions of the offseason sort of almost expecting the Reds to really look at overhauling that roster, and it appears now as if that may be the case. Do you expect to see the Reds be really active in the trade market? Because I mean, they're one team, John. They match up well with a lot of teams, but boy, it's almost like a dovetail matchup with the Blue Jays.
They would, and we know one thing, Jeff. They certainly have an excess of pitching that's all coming up at the end of this season. When you talk about obviously Latos, Cueto, who is a Cy Young finalist, Leak, Alfredo Simon, all those guys are eligible for free agency after this season. And I think the Reds are trying to find a way to take away how leveraged they are with respect to those four guys hitting free agency all at the same time. So I think they do want to flip one of those guys for a bit younger pitcher. Again, would there be a match between, let's say, a Leak for a Drew Hutchison, something like that, where they could get a guy that's a little bit more of a earlier on his service time clock? There may be some matches there. The one thing the Reds need to do, if they're going to go for it and try to win this year, is they have to get some more power and stability in left field. They've been looking for power at that spot for years, and they have not figured that out yet. So I think they can still compete. They can still win, I think, in that division, even if they trade one of these starting pitchers. But it all depends on what they get back. I think they would not necessarily be getting back young prospects. I think it's more of the next group of guys that's a little bit younger in the service time area. Somebody like a Stroman is what they would want, but I don't see the Jays giving them up. As we know, he was their best pitcher down the stretch. So I think that's the type of guy they're going to be asking for. But you're right. Even Ken Rosenthal reported about the fact that Jay Bruce has been the subject of trade conversations, which is a little bit surprising. So I think the bottom line for that team is, Jeff, they have to find a way to get Votto back on the field and Phillips back on the field. When those guys are healthy, they have a plenty good lineup, a plenty good rotation to win. But I do agree that's going to be a club that does a lot of tweaking. I would expect them to trade one starting pitcher, but probably not two.